This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. Cincinnati Bengals in the news here, Michael. Quarterback Joe Burrow, who hasn't played since week two. He had surgery to repair a turf toe injury on his foot, on his left foot? He's returning to practice today in a limited capacity, according to the team. He's been on the injured reserve since September 16th. Monday marks a 21-day period during which he may begin limited practice with the team without counting against the 53-player active roster. He is eligible to be activated to the roster during the 21-day period. Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, said Monday that Burrow would not play in Sunday's game against the Steelers. Okay, question. If you're Cincinnati and you lose this game to Pittsburgh without Joe Burrow, you would then be 3-7. And then you have the Patriots, Ravens, Bills, Ravens. Do you bring Burrow back? Or do you just let him... You'll be 3-7 before that stretch. Do you just let him heal up 100% and give it a go next year? Or do you think you can actually... In order to make a run, you'd have to beat the Patriots, who are playing pretty damn good. They just beat Tampa Bay. You got to beat the Ravens now, who have won three in a row. Lamar's back. Two of those three, Lamar's been back. At Baltimore, at Buffalo, home against the Ravens. Do you bring Burrow back? The odds of... If you're 3-7, don't you have to win out to make the playoffs? We're pretty close to it.
It depends. Can they still win their division?
They're 3-6. Yeah, it's doable. But if you lose to Pittsburgh, you'd be 3-7. You have to have a lot of things go right, and you have a gauntlet waiting for you. Four games that are very difficult. But it could happen. Their defense is still atrocious, though. I mean, it's not like Joe Flacco is awful. You know, they're putting up numbers. They've scored 42 against the Bears. They scored 38 against the Jets, 33 against the Steelers. I mean, are we saying the quarterback's the biggest issue and you're going to go on a run, or do you rest Burrow and you... I don't know, maybe even, I know you hate this, but maybe even consider tanking to try to improve your defense.
Who gives you the best chance to win? Does an injured Burrow give you the best chance to win?
A turf toe injured Burrow that's probably not 100%, and would there be a risk of re-aggravating and making things worse? Or sometimes you see guys are tender with one injury and they push harder on a different part of their side or leg or whatever. Do you risk putting him back in and messing with next year?
I would say you have to be careful. You have to balance out who's going to give you the opportunity to win and
versus what the future, what
yeah,
next year
is,
looks like.
Is this person going to hurt themselves? Yeah. Because you want to win. However, if he hurts himself, then you're not going to win any other games.
Yeah.
Like it.
But their defense is so bad.
About
Burrow
that.
Could come back and they could put up 40 and still lose 42-40. I don't know. If they beat Pittsburgh, I would say, yeah, let's go for it. If they lose to Pittsburgh, then you're 3-7. I would avoid that, I think. What did I say they were? They're 3-6. If they lose to Pittsburgh, they'll be 3-7. If you're 4-6, then suddenly that changes, even though you still have a very tough task coming up. Selfishly, I don't want the Broncos. If the Broncos stumble like a lot of national people are thinking they're going to do, I don't want the Bengals to get red hot and do what they did last year. Remember the Bengals last year? It was, if they can get in, watch out. They're going to be dangerous. Brian Daboll is out. The former head coach of the New York Giants. The team blew another double-digit lead Sunday. I mean, the Jackson Dart thing was cool for a second, but he got a concussion in yesterday's game. That's the way he plays. Scadabo the same way. Those guys, they're fun to watch. We all love those dudes. But it's just not a way to sustain. Daboll won the 2022 Coach of the Year in his first season with the Giants. They went 9-7-1. They even won a playoff game. But things have been awful since. So, Daboll out for the New York Giants. Interesting blow. Ex-LSU coach Brian Kelly rejected two settlement offers. Well, can't blame LSU for trying. He rejected two financial settlement offers, according to ESPN, from the university. His attorneys have given LSU's officials a Monday deadline to confirm in writing that they'll pay him the $54 million he's owed under the terms of his contract. They're seeking a settlement after agreeing to a buyout to him of $54 million that they'll owe him if they fire him. If you're Brian Kelly, you're not. Why would you settle?
Absolutely not. That's so dumb.
They fired you. They gave you the boot into your dream.
I mean, it's not like he did something. Look, they weren't the greatest. They weren't the LSU that they were supposed to be under him.
Buyer beware.
However, it's not like he did something, you know, illegal, or he did something questionable. If he had done that, then, you know, maybe I can understand that buyout, that, you know, them dropping down the number. But as far as I know, they owe him that 50-something million, and they're going to have to bite the bullet.
Yeah. Yeah, so wild story there. The NFL has suspended Darren Payne for one game after the Commanders' defensive lineman punched Lions receiver Ross St. Brown Sunday. He will be suspended without pay for unsportsmanlike conduct. He has the option to appeal the suspension. Payne was ejected in the second quarter of Sunday's 44-22 loss to the Lions. It marked the first career ejection for the... Did you see the punch? He just hauled off and punched him while St. Brown had his helmet on. It was after Detroit scored its third touchdown of the first half. He slugged St. Brown with his right hand after a verbal exchange. He was given an unsportsmanlike conduct and an automatic ejection. Washington defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw said after the game that St. Brown had punched Payne. He said, yeah, for sure, and they saw it too. It's some BS, 100%. According to Kinlaw, he retaliated. The refs literally saw the first punch. I don't blame him for the way he reacted. Tempers got to flaring. St. Brown told reporters after the game that two plays before that, we got into a little scuffle back and forth. Then we ended up scoring, and I go up to him. I say a little something, nothing crazy, and then he decides to swing on me. First off, don't swing at helmets. Why are you punching helmets? Do we still need to do this? Don't punch helmets. Why are we doing that?
I mean, they've been saying this for years. Like, guys have been going close-fisted, hitting someone in the helmet.
Yeah,
You're an idiot for doing that. Now, like, I've been seeing more and more, like, open palm hitting of helmets. But, like, you're still hurting yourself, and you're not getting paid.
Let's read some of the texts from the first hour that we missed, and some of them sprinkling in here now. From Sport texting in, as the dude down the hall would probably agree, running 54% would be enough to make a living if your bets were large enough. Talking about my 5 games over .500 record in the picks. Thank you. Very positive. Mike is just, you know, tis the season. We're getting to the Grouch, not the Grouch, Ebenezer.
Scrooge.
You're Ebenezer. You're my Ebenezer Ecubon. Yes. Ebenezer Ecubon. Did you catch that?
I did. Doesn't his son play for UNC?
He does. But no, in real life, you're my Ebenezer Scrooge. Yes.
By the way, I just watched that punch. If he was playing a real fighter,
He'd
be knocked out cold real quick.
Faith said this coaching firing carousel just keeps churning. Now Dable is out between NFL and college. It just seems like the most in-season firings in a long time. They just don't have patience. They're succumbing to the wishes of their fans, to their donors, to whatever. In the NFL, different. Dable's been given a fair shot, though, don't you think? I mean, he's coach of the year in 2022. Since then, it's gone pretty bad. I think he's been given a fair shot.
Isn't he the reason that Barkley's not a Giant anymore?
Well, he's the head coach. I think that's more on the management. He's not the GM. That's not
okay,
the head coaching.
Who was the one that was like, we'll see if was he wants Dable? To join the team?
I didn't think it was Dable. I thought that was the Giants GM that said that. Could be wrong.
Okay, that could have
been. Could be wrong. Big Hub, do you think it will be harder for CSU to hire a coach after all of these open vacancies? It doesn't make it easier. I mean, I'll just tell you that. It doesn't make it easier. The longer this goes, the more jobs become available. Yeah. So, again, that's why maybe they will hire a guy, and it's because of the work they did right when they fired Norvell, and that might lead more to the point of this is why we fired him before the Wyoming game, because we needed to get after it. We needed to get that start. But I would always counter with, how much ground were you really gaining in that time? Were you really sitting down with people? Were you really having conversations yet? Or are these coordinators and coaches and former coaches or whatever? Well, the fired ones you could sit down with, I'm sure. But the guys with current jobs, are you really doing any of that yet? I don't know the answer. Eastside Chris texting in. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Brady, watch the Patriots game. Looks like May is the real thing. Good coaching. Broncos have a great defense and have won with smoke and mirrors. Would be in trouble. Well, we could be in trouble in the playoffs. Yes, logically we could be. Why does my gut tell me this offense is going to figure it out? I'm trying not to do the Michael thing, like, oh, they will, because they will. I just can't imagine. Are they really going to keep going? We're over halfway done, Mike, and you're still not running the ball correctly. You get 18 carries, but it's a weird way that you get 18 carries. You run a bunch the first drive, then you stall out. You don't really see him in the second quarter, and then J.K. Dobbins suddenly emerges in third. I thought he was hurt. You can't keep living that way. You just can't keep doing it. And maybe this week, with the mini bye, we'll really give the Broncos a chance to assess everything. What did I see, Mike? Now that the game's over against the Raiders, the Broncos are going to have only one game in, like, what is it, 23 days? Or something like that, because they had the game Thursday, and then they have the weekend off, then they get the Chiefs, then they're off a full week after that, plus the weekend, and then the week after that. So they're going to get some time to try to figure this out, win or lose against the Chiefs. So this bodes well for this 8-2 team, hoping to get to 9-2 before the bye. If they can somehow beat the Chiefs, then I'm going to say it. Easy breezy, beautiful cover girl. This team has a really good chance of taking the number one seed. Lose the Chiefs, then I think we're going to have that conversation of, okay, can you just hang on? Hang on for dear life to a playoff spot. And then get in and any given Saturday, any given Sunday kind of thing. 19 minutes after the hour. On the Rocks Liquor, man, they're always just packing a punch for us. Really appreciate the work that they do. And I want to get you the information you need this week. The beverage or whiskey of the week is from the Rick Thomas Distillery in Blackhawk, Colorado. 1859 is a corn whiskey aged in reused barrels for a smooth mountain taste. Speaking of whiskeys, Maker's Mark Straight Kentucky Bourbon Whiskey will be here on Friday, December 5th from 4 to 7 p.m. creating custom bottle labels. So you can come make your own mark with Maker's Mark at On the Rocks Liquor. How cool is that? You can go get your own Maker's Mark bottle with a custom label that could fit whatever you're into. That's cool. On the Rocks Liquor, make your next celebration on the Rocks. 20 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's take a quick break. We got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes. Is there hope for the Buffs, for the future of the Buffs? Not the immediate future, but the foreseeable one. We'll talk about it. Stick with us. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
For nuggets, games, and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
I keep my hands on myself. Pick up dust and mold, put them back up on the shelf. Just a little baby girl is in me. Am I coming out of left?
Rough go over the weekend, man. Just not good. Just not good for Colorado State. Mike, I debated going. I thought I was going to go. And again, full amount of respect offered to all the great people at Colorado State. With me, as you guys know, my kiddo's autistic. It is harder for me to break out and go to games, especially when they're right around that 6:30, 7-ish, 7:30. 7:30 was right on the cusp. And you know, we one of the reasons, of course, that I need to be closer to home, you know, Gavin has a certain routine that's got to be perfection. And needs dad around for, I mean, his mom is awesome. She's the leader in the clubhouse, but Dad plays a part in that, and I got to be around for some of those vital routines, especially at nighttime. So it's harder for me to break away and go to games. It was just one of those where it's like, okay, he's about to fall asleep. We should be good to go. Just decided I'm not gonna go check this out. And again, it's if Jane Arvell was still there, would I have gone? There's still a story there, I guess. With this, it's like, what are they playing for? Oh, well, the kid's on that roster. Okay, great. Good luck to you guys. Good luck to everybody going forward. I hope some of you stick around. I hope Dupree sticks around. I hope, you know, that four or five of these apps. I mean, I don't have anything wrong, bad to say about a lot of dudes, especially college kids. I hope Owen Long sticks around. I hope Rocky Beers sticks around. I don't know what his eligibility situation looks like. But this is just a bad football team. This is just a team that's getting worse, and they're going to be, I mean, are they tanking for the draft, Mike? CSU tanking for the draft. Would it be the same if Jane Orville stuck around? I don't know. Probably, but if not, what does it matter? Because I do believe that the decision was probably made before the Fresno State game. And then it was, oh crap. Well, look at that. We won. Well, you can't really move on from him now, especially with the way you won. I mean, they just boat raced Fresno State. So we'll see if he can turn it around. And then, of course, it was just bad. So under Tyson Summers, the Colorado State Rams played two games under Tyson Summers, and they have scored 10 points in two games. They were shut out by Wyoming, and they lost 42-10 to UNLV. First drive of the game by CSU looked perfect. And the first quarter was 7-0. UNLV outscored the Rams 21-3 in the second quarter, 14-0 in the third, and 7-0 in the fourth. I don't know. Did they do? Was any of our listeners at the Rams game? Did they do their fourth quarter chaos thing? Please tell me they didn't, because it was a blowout at that point. Please tell me it was what 36-0 or 36-10 at that point, and then yeah. Rough go for Colorado State, wondering what the future holds for this Rams team. Now, the only thing people are, I believe, grasping onto at this stage for the Rams is who will be the next head coach. And that is the big thing. That is the biggest thing for a football program as they look to go into the Pac-12. They kind of stumble. Not kind of stumble. They tripped out of the blocks. They didn't even get back. I mean, they got ejected
They false. What is it? What is it? When you false start on the shot, on the gunshot start, they didn't. They jumped the gun. They didn't get to do the race. That's where the Rams are. 29 minutes after the hour. The Buffs, different story there, kind of. There is a future. And it starts with the young quarterback in Juju Lewis, who, I don't know, looked pretty good over the weekend, even though they lost, even though they didn't cover, looked pretty good. Jake, the geologist guy, talking about my Broncos gut. Brady, your gut is telling you that. Do you think the Broncos offense will turn around? It's because you believe. Kind of. Right back, kind of. That's how I feel, kind of. 30 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Joining me next, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes football team and men's basketball team. Joining me, Mark Johnson. Mark, where you know, last week you didn't want to go on the football side first, but you know, and I'll say this in comparison. You know, we're talking a lot of football here on the show, and
sure.
There's certain teams like Colorado State. When I watch them, they get smoked, and I'm like, okay, yeah, but I'm still not looking for the future for them because they blew it all up. This is going to be a completely different situation for the Buffs. There's still reason to watch this team and listen to you, Mark, tell the stories, because maybe hope has arrived at that quarterback position, and that's where the future starts with Julian Lewis.
Well, come on, Brady. There's always reason
always.
To listen to Gary and me. I mean, you know, whether the team's winning or losing, Gary and I are always going to be highly entertaining.
That's
and,
true. And yes.
Yeah. But now, with what you're talking about, yeah, Juju showed us something on Saturday. You know, was he perfect? Absolutely not. But here's what I said after the game when we did our television stand-up. I said, he looks like he belongs out there. There wasn't panic in him. You know, he was manipulating the pocket like he's supposed to. There were a couple of times we thought he, you know, left a little bit early. But that'll happen. And then later in the game, you see him step up. Here's the thing that fans may not know about Juju. You know, his father is a heck of a quarterback coach, and he has had the best coaching growing up. You can see it in him. There's a natural, when you're well-trained, you default back to what you know, which is your training, right? It's all the thousands and millions of reps he took growing up. He defaults back to that. And so there's a lot to like about what we saw with him. You know, we'll see him in the last two games of the season here, and so he's going to get a lot of reps. And by the way, I'll just address it very quickly here. I've gotten more messages about people wondering about why would they do that. That would be five games that he can't redshirt. Folks, you need to understand something here. There is all sorts of legal challenges going on out there. The five to play four rule is going away. It's going to be gone very shortly here. So everyone's going to have 5 years to play five, okay? And that's what's going to happen. So don't be terribly concerned about the redshirt thing with him. If he plays five games, he won't be able to redshirt, lose a year. That's not going to count anymore. It's not going to be part of the lexicon of what we talk about anymore in college football. And so that's going to be over. But, yeah, there's a lot of reasons what we saw from him to be really excited about what he can become as a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think that's what, you know, keeps you going. And I'm glad you brought that up, too, because I'm seeing it. Oh, they're going to waste a year of eligibility for this. And that's another one that's coming down the pipe, going to change soon.
Yeah, without question. It's already been challenged. In fact, I saw something the last couple of weeks here about one of the next steps in the legal process of all of that. And so it's going away, and you're not going to have to be concerned about that. So that's the one thing that happens right now with all that's going on, Brady, in college athletics, is when fans react, they're reacting from what they know or what it is right now. And you got to understand, this whole thing is so fluid, it's unbelievable. But that is one rule that is going to be changed and going to go just kind of go the way of the dodo bird, if you will, and we're not going to have to worry about it anymore.
Now, what did you make of the finish of this game, Mark? You lose another close one. At least they're back to that, 29-22 to West Virginia. Just interesting how this one unfolded.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, listen, and West Virginia's not a great football team, all right? They're fine. I mean, that thing, I heard that Shannon Sharp said after the Broncos game on Thursday night, it set offensive football back 70 years. This one did that in some respects as well. It was not a great football team. Those were not two top-level teams going at each other. But, Colorado made some mistakes out there. You had a young quarterback. I chuckle all the time. For example, last week when Isaiah Johnson had those 24 first-half points, a guy sent me a message. He said, what was wrong with him in the first half? I mean, just critical. And I'm like, dude, would you give the 18-year-old kid a few minutes to get his feet underneath him, for goodness sake? And that's the way I felt about Juju in the first half. Was it horrible? No, it wasn't great either. He was making some mistakes out there. But he just turned 18 a few weeks ago. And you could tell he was trying to get his bearings about him and trying to figure out about the speed and what's happening and where I need to look. So just give the kid a couple of snaps to kind of catch himself and figure out what's going on out there. And so the way the game unfolded is about what I thought it would. Now, Colorado surely had a chance. It was a winnable football game. They didn't make the plays. The defense still is not playing well. They're not tackling well. They forced a couple of turnovers then and really didn't do much with them. And so those are things this team's got to get over. But, right now, as you look at it, and I know it's year three of Prime and people are going out of their minds about the way this was not supposed to be a rebuilding year. Well, it is what it is right now. But you've got Julian Lewis. You've got other guys out there. You've got Amarion Miller. You've got a couple of nice young running backs. Jordan Seaton has still got a lot of football in front of him. There's some nice pieces to this thing, but they've got to address a number of things. In particular, I think, on the offensive side of the ball going into next season.
How excited.
I should say defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
That's where they've got a lot of holes. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, certainly the defensive side. But, assuming Miller's back next year, that connection, maybe that's a preview of what's to come next. And what did he have? Like over 120, 130 yards, a touchdown? I mean, that was a nice connection.
I mean, he's a monster. Think of all the great receivers we've had at the University of Colorado here in recent years. He's one of those guys. Joseph Williams is one of those guys. And so you've got some very talented guys. Listen, that's the one thing we figured out. For the most part, when Prime recruits wide receivers and defensive backs, he knows what he's looking at. He missed a few on the defensive side this year, right? There's some guys that haven't quite played the way they're supposed to. And like I said, that's got to be addressed. But, you've got some pretty darn good-looking wide receivers out there. And Amarion is one of those guys that's going to end up playing on Sunday somewhere.
Mark, I'm looking around I'm looking around college football. I'm looking around the NFL, and we're firing guys left and right. I saw Brian Howell retweet this because I saw this last night. FanDuel Sportsbook. I don't know if you saw this.
No, I did not.
FanDuel Sportsbook. Deion Sanders in 3 years at Colorado. 16-19 record, one winning season, 0-1 in bowl games, 2-8 versus ranked opponents, never ranked higher than number 16 in AP poll. Is it time for Colorado to move on from Coach Prime? I'm not even, I like to get the Buffs fans going a little bit, Mark, but
no.
I mean, absolutely not. I mean, we can say what we will about Coach Prime, and sometimes he can be a character, but there's no doubt, at least right now, the vibes are still much better than they've been for quite some time before Coach Prime got there.
Well, there's a couple of things about that. Yeah, we do a really good job in sports media in this world of hyperbole in mining for clicks all the time. We do a real good job of spending other people's money, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
I mean, what's going on right now? Think about this. I saw this a couple of days ago, right before the weekend. There is right now over $200 million in payouts going to fired coaches in college football. And it's not over yet. There'll probably be another $100 million by the time it's all said and done. It's insane. Well, Colorado just signed him to a brand new contract. The University of Colorado does not have that kind of money. So there's the practical aspect of this. Now the real aspect of this is the fact that is there disappointment they took a step back this year? Certainly is. This thing is not broken. It's not doomed. It's not, the arrow's not pointing in the wrong direction in any way, shape, or form. You've got to look at the tea leaves. You got to, okay, where's the needle pointing? The needle is pointing in a positive direction with this thing. Deion Sanders brings a great number of things to the table. Now, do I think there's going to be adjustments to his coaching staff for next season? Absolutely. Do I think he missed on a couple of guys like he kind of indicated in his post-game press conference on Saturday? Absolutely. And, you know, that reminds me of something else. In this new world of NIL, where everyone wants to bring in all these pieces that are going to take you to the next level, boy, if you miss, it is egregious. I mean, it's glaring. And that's one of the issues you've got with what this system has turned out to be now, is this we're going to just automatically remake ourselves overnight instead of the traditional way of going about this, which was you get a good freshman class, then you stack another freshman class on top of that one, and on top of that one, and you build a foundation. Well, now what we do, and it's not just Prime. I mean, he was kind of on the front end of the curve of this thing. But if everybody is just thinking, okay, we're going to turn this thing around overnight, well, you can if you hit on the guys that you bring in. If you miss some key situations, you got a problem. And so, you know, that's the one thing about how this whole thing, this process unfolds now. And so, you know, Prime missed on a couple of guys. He's doing a heck of a job putting a freshman class together, last I saw, for this upcoming year. And obviously they're going to hit the portal hard again, so that's going to happen. But, no, the idea that someone's out there just going to throw this whole thing out and say, we need to make a coaching change. Number one, you're just not thinking about that. That's an emotional reaction, not an intellectual reaction.
Yeah, I'm not. My brain is not even close to going there.
No.
Close, Mark. Got this text from Eastside Chris. Says, hey, would Juju, would he go out and look at the free market? That's where we are now. We are asking those questions. Any threat of that?
Well, I certainly would expect that. I mean, that's where everybody is. You know?
Yeah.
I was on a show the other day, and somebody asked me, they said, whether the foundation moving forward. I said, you know, I'd love to think what you're saying is true, and it may be, but I don't know. It seems like everybody is out there looking at the free market. I did have somebody tell me, who's very close to his father, that his father and Juju, apparently amongst themselves, have talked about how this thing is their job moving forward, okay? So let's say the next couple of games. Let's say he goes out and, you know, he was pretty darn good the other day. Let's say Texas stepped forward against Arizona State, other stuff against Kansas State. That looks very promising. And, you know, they can look at this thing and say, you know, that's our job right now. That's Juju's position to lose moving forward. And then obviously Prime and his coaching staff and the personnel people are going to say, listen, man, we're building around you. You're the centerpiece of this. We're going to recruit to you. Which coaches do, you know, frequently. And so it's a pretty good situation. You know, he's making just fine money. I guarantee he's making more than I am, I'll tell you that much. And so he's doing just fine in that regard. He's got his face on a fast food company's cups and making good money, and he's got a job sitting in front of him that looks like it's his for the next 2 to 3 years if he wants it. So, I mean, it's a good situation. Am I going to tell you he's not going to look elsewhere? Absolutely not. But it's a good situation. Everything I'm told, he likes it in Boulder, Colorado, and he thinks this is a good situation for him.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, joining us. On the basketball side of things, the Buffs have another battle against a Big Sky school, Eastern Washington, win in overtime. But you mentioned him earlier, Isaiah Johnson. Man, that guy, I know you're getting stuff from like, what's with the late start? But he looks pretty darn good for these first two games.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, he's a star in the making. You know, Ronchick was outstanding today.
Yeah.
What happened? We got done with our game. And we got on the buses, and I dialed the ESPN Plus broadcast sitting on the bus, and then we had a bus fire with one of ours, and so we stopped in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia, and sat there for an hour and a half waiting to get things repaired and taken care of. And so I got a chance to watch basically the entire thing. I think I missed the first 5-6 minutes of the game, but I saw the entire game. Here's the one thing about what we're seeing with Colorado's basketball team. This team can score. It is a very good offensive team. And right now, they're not playing a lick of defense, and it is driving our boy Tad Boyle out of his mind at this point. I texted him after the game, and I said, I'm sitting on a bus next to one that was on fire watching the television broadcast. Congratulations on the win. Got to be kind of tight there. You're not playing a lick of defense. He wrote back and said, we are either going to teach him to play defense or I'm going to have a coronary.
So, sounds about right.
You know, we're going to get a real good test for Colorado coming up Friday night. You got Tim English, the former assistant coach for the Buffaloes, and the Providence Friars coming in from the Big East, and so that'll be a heck of a challenge. But now, Isaiah Johnson is, you know, there's a lot of what we're talking about with Juju. There's a lot to like. He is going to be a star. He'll most likely play in the NBA because he's that kind of talent. This is a pretty good offensive basketball team, but with all the youth on there, probably not surprising, They got to learn to play defense, and that's what Tad Boyle builds his program on. And so he's got some work to do right now.
Well, and I will say, just from what we're hearing around the Big Sky, too, Montana State, Eastern Washington, both going to be very good basketball teams this year.
Well, Brady, look what Eastern Washington did last week against UCLA.
Yeah.
They went into Poly Pavilion and got beat. What was it, 6-point game? I think when it was all said and done. So listen, man, they had a couple of cats on that team. They had the little guard that was really good, Isaiah Moses, a big guy inside. I thought was pretty crappy inside. So listen, we know that's a good basketball league, and those two teams have really shown well here early. One of them against the Buffs, and one against UCLA and Colorado. And so yeah, I think. All those Bears fans out there, man, get ready. It's going to be an entertaining season with all those teams coming to town.
No question, my friend. Mark, always appreciate your insight, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, buddy. See you, bud.
All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. All right, 12:49, Michael, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Brian Gary, Tanner Schwint. Good Morning NOCO is on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back in. That was fun. Mark Johnson, always great to catch up with. Didn't have a lot of time with him this afternoon, but we will shift our focus more to the basketball side of things with him coming up very soon. Coming up next, we've got buy or sell, and let's take a look at Broncos Chiefs at a glance. At least it is Broncos Chiefs week. Can the Broncos get that ninth win and take a pretty good hold of the AFC West by beating the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend? That's a monster game. Just a monster game for this team. And there's doubts creeping in. You know, you're starting to hear it now that it's not sustainable, that this team's not going to be able to keep winning this way with a superior defense and an offense that just can't seem to figure it out. Well, they kind of did that in 2015. So we're going to kind of compare that team to this year's team as well, coming up in the final hour of the show. So don't go anywhere. Also, we've got What Did We Learn coming up to wrap up this edition of The Whole Show. It's powered by Chevron. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Buy or sell, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.